the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, author of At Hell's Gate, Cloud Anson Thomas. Night sky, look at the night sky, where the stars and musical guests, Frank Kilpatrick and Rachel. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I'm so been looking forward to this show tonight for many reasons, and early this week I had yet another reason, and the reason that I had the new reason, and this isn't the first time that it's happened in this but it's the first time that this has happened to me in this particular way. And what it was, and I have a feeling there's a lot of this kind of thing going on. And I on occasion we deal with somebody who is, somebody that we do business with at Life Changes, and, we don't have a lot of contact with him, and it's not often, but when we do, we get to chat about this person's life and whatnot, and then we do business while we're chatting, and because that's how we like to do, is get to know people personally, etc. And this person always has a lot going on in their head and is always very busy in their head. And as we were ending our business and our chat time together, and I was on my way to another call, I started to say goodbye, and this person interrupts loudly and says, "Do you love me?" And this person is a man. He's very straight. I knew right away this wasn't about romantic love. I knew right away this person was literally crying out for help, and I just stopped, like the world stopped, and I said, "Well, yes. What's going on?" And he was quiet, like for the first time, like after he asked the question, and then after I said, "Yes, what's going on?" Like this person normally, like I said, has a lot going on in his head and a lot going on in his mouth. He talks a lot and quickly, and was quiet. And he said, "Do you ever, I'm so confused, Filippo. I'm so confused as to what's real and what's not real and who's real in my life and who's not real. And there's so many thoughts going through my head and I'm so confused." And when I ended up having to postpone my next call and just take time with him. But after I got off the phone, and I've been thinking a lot about it this week, how so many people are probably asking that question, "Who loves me?" And the sad truth of it is that the answer for most of these people isn't even me, isn't even I love myself. And so I too was looking at the work of our guest tonight and over the week more so, and thinking, and there are more answers here for all of us. And so for this reason, I'm very grateful that Cloud Anson Thomas is on our show. And also, speaking of gratitude, I'm so very grateful for that Frank Kilpatrick and Reiko are on our show to share their special way of loving and showing gratitude through their music and podcast and videos, etc. We'll be right back on the Life Changes Show after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence. nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. 5 beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the 5 meditation. 5 meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of 5 beads at 5beads.com. That's 5phibeads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and we have titled this episode of the Life Changes Show, From War to the Discovery of Inner Peace. Our guest is a fully ordained Zen Buddhist monk, a combat war veteran, and author of At Hell's Gate. We welcome Claude Anshin Thomas to the show. Welcome, Claude.
Thank you, Filippo.
I know you have something to say, and so we're going to start with what's on your mind in this moment before we go on with the rest of the interview after what I shared.
Sorry, I was muted.
I thought maybe we went into meditation, which would have been perfect.
Yeah. No, I forgot to press the open mic button. And no, what I said is that I would like to, if I may, mention that At Hell's Gate, A Soldier's Journey from War to Peace, it's published by Shambhala. But we also, I also have the privilege of having a second book published. The title of that book is Bringing Meditation to Life, 108 Teachings on the Path of Zen Practice. It's published by Oakwood Publishing. You can find more information about these things on the foundation, on the website for the Zolto Foundation, if I may mention that.
Of course.
www.zolto.org. O-R-G.
Of course.
But with what you were sharing in the beginning, is something we had talked about earlier this afternoon. And I wanted to read a short excerpt out of the new book, Bringing Meditation to Life. Page 151, chapter 72. Suffering is not our enemy. Society teaches us that suffering is our enemy. We are constantly encouraged to reject what is unpleasant, disappointing, or difficult. But our suffering is not our enemy. It is only through a more conscious relationship with my pain, my sadness, that I can truly know and touch the opposite, which is my pleasure, my joy, and my happiness. What must change our attitudes towards our suffering? Well, we must change our attitudes towards our suffering, bringing an attitude of active nonviolence to our daily experiences and to our world. We don't need to fight or extinguish our suffering. We can meet it with openness, honesty, and non-aggression.
Thank you for sharing that. And that also speaks to our minds are powerful, and we need to learn to train them to be aware of it.
Exactly. I think that we spoke about a number of things this afternoon. It's a pity we didn't have that on tape. But when I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania, a small rural farming community named Waterford, and it's just south of Erie. And my upbringing at the time didn't seem particularly unusual. My father had been a combat soldier in the Second War, and most of the men in the community where I served had also been combat veterans. My father never spoke about his experiences in the war. He was quite successful in town. He was on the town council. He was a volunteer fireman. He was a school teacher. He was well respected. He was involved and successful in the politics of education in Pennsylvania. And I rarely ever saw him. He would come home from school. The first thing he did when he come home from school is he'd have a 16-ounce water glass, 7/8 of the way full of gin, topped off with Fresca, because he was watching his weight. And he'd have two of those in the first 45 minutes. And then he would head out to a veterans fraternal organization where he worked as a bartender. I didn't know my father was alcoholic. He wasn't violent by nature. He was just absent. He and I grew up together. My mother left him when I was quite young. I was left to fend for myself. I didn't understand the impact that this had. I also didn't understand, and this is what Zen practice has given me, the awareness of the interconnected reality of which I'm a part of. So when I heard this for the first time in the first monastery that I lived and studied at, is that within me exist all past generations. So that the suffering of my father, of my mother, of my grandparents, my great-grandparents, I have the opportunity now in my lifetime to heal that suffering. My father died at 53. My mother died quite young also. I'm convinced that their suffering and their inability to recognize it, to work with it in a conscious way, was a contributing factor. I have been given the opportunity to not continue to repeat the cycles of suffering that have been passed from generation to generation, that I can, through living my life differently, heal the suffering of I can heal my father in me, my mother in me. It's a pretty amazing lesson that I received in that first monastery that I studied in. And when I heard it, it just resonated with me. It didn't make any sense in an intellectual way, but it resonated with me in a very deep and powerful way.
You went on to then at 18 volunteer to serve as a combat soldier in the Vietnam War. And with that, you say that you carry the responsibility for much death and destruction. Is that something that you have found a way to heal within you, and potentially other death and destruction that was responsible by others?
The simple answer is yes. However, I think it's important for me to qualify my relationship with that word healing. We have the sense that healing is the absence of something. But in fact, what I have discovered is healing is not the absence of my suffering. I've discovered through this process of awakening that healing is the ability to live at peace with my unpeacefulness. I joined the military. I volunteered to go in the military at the age of 17. My father had the sign. It had to sign for me to go into the military because I wasn't old enough to sign a legal document. I did volunteer to go to Vietnam at the age of 18, and I spent a significant amount of time in military hospital. Now, when I got out of the military, my life was so chaotic, and I will say that relationships were impossible. Now, true, I didn't have a good model for them, but any kind of connection with another person was just impossible for me after the war. I don't know much before the war because I was so young when I went into the military. I wasn't able to hold jobs. I had a difficult time with authority. I had a highly disturbed sleep pattern, and the only way I knew to address this angst that I was living with was to use alcohol and drugs. That's what my dad did. And what I discovered, that they were not really the tools that were helping me. They were part of the part. They were a major contributor to keeping trapped in those endless cycles. So it wasn't until, May of 1983, when I was fortunate enough to get into an alcohol and drug rehabilitation center and stopped using alcohol and drugs and stayed stopped, that this possibility of any kind of understanding, and that, well, I'm not talking about intellectual comprehension, I'm talking about something different than that. They describe it in Buddhist teachings as the difference between the relative existence and absolute existence. It's the difference between right, wrong, yes, no, and the difference between the truth of gravity. So it was because I took away the substances that were sort of clouding my ability to experience the world directly and kept them out of my life, that I had had the chance to become the person that I am today. And that's constantly unfolding in front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you've begun to walk the Buddhist path a few decades ago, and now you are a fully ordained Zen Buddhist monk in the Japanese Soto Zen tradition, and have been for several decades, for that matter. One of the things I really liked about what you have said, or what you said earlier today, is something to the effect of meditation is not sitting in repose.
I personally love this. This is not an invention of mine. This came to me through years of sitting just to sit. Walking just to walk, eating just to eat, doing being absolutely committed to the tradition that was passed on to me, and observing how that was unfolding in my life, and study being an integral part of this spiritual path. So a lot of reading, but reading is not the point. It's what I do. What was I told? I was told that the truth and the teachings that I was studying it exist in the space between the words. And that, again, that was one of those moments that resonated with me. But what is becoming incredibly clear to me is that daily life and spiritual practice are not two things. What became incredibly clear to me is that while sitting in repose is a root form of an active meditation practice, if when I get up from that place of repose, whether it's on a meditation cushion or on a chair, whether I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, however I'm doing that, once I get up and move from that place of repose, meditation hasn't finished. That's just the place where it starts. I carry that into everything that I do, throughout the day. So there's another thing that really jumped out at me, and this was passed on by a Chinese Zen teacher from the 13th century, Fayan Wenyi. And to paraphrase this teaching is that if a thing is not practical, it's not spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so to discover in silence, and that's what begins with sitting meditation, as I'm inviting more silence. And silence, of course, silence, by the way, is not the absence of noise. It's learning to live in a different relationship with all those thoughts that are ruminating in my mind, or the feelings that accompany that. how that to carry that into everything I do, so that once I get up off the cushion, sitting, walking to the bathroom, an opportunity to practice walking meditation, brushing my teeth, is to do that with full intention. And it's in silence that I discover what distracts me from being attentive in everything that I do all the time. The foundation of such a practice is in breath awareness. Being aware that I'm breathing in, knowing that I'm breathing in, breathing out, knowing that I'm breathing out. If I'm not conscious of each breath, then I cannot be in the present moment. And if I'm not in the present moment, then I'm merely, I'm not really experiencing life. And so my focus has been simply to cultivate that. There is nothing I can do to change what was. This is like this because that was like that. If I want the world to be different, and I don't really know what that means exactly, I need to live my life differently, because as this is, that will become. Because the world and I aren't separate. I'm an integral part of it.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to get back to the practical point. Maybe we'll have to do that after a break. We just got a couple of minutes. But having just said that, it takes me to something else that you say. War is a collective expression of individual suffering. So isn't that kind of what you just alluded to?
It is precisely that. And thank you for having read the book. I know that came out of it, Hell's Gate.
It came out of the book. Honestly, I haven't read all the book yet, but thank you. Yes, it did come out of the book.
Yes.
So go on, please elaborate. What does it mean? War is a collective expression of individual suffering.
Well, people look at war, generally people are conditioned, or I would say, it's frustrating for me sometimes to talk in generalities, but I will do this. There are exceptions, of course, I know. There are exceptions to every rule, that everything that I may generalize. But in general, people see war as something external to themselves. And what I have awakened to is that war is a collective manifestation of individual suffering. For example, we don't have a political problem in this country. We have the issues rest with the politicians. If the politicians would heal, then the political system will care for itself. If we're willing to wake up to the roots of war, violence, and suffering in us, then war begins to end.
Wow. It makes me think of as above, so below, as within, so without, or however one can make analogies for that.
Yes.
And what we're seeing on the outside is an external manifestation of what's going on within each one of us. Wow. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, well said.
Oh, well said. Thank you. Well, we're when we do come back, actually, I would like to, that question of if a thing is not practical, it's not spiritual. I haven't heard that a lot, very rarely, if at all. So when we get back with Claude and Shin Thomas, we will talk about that a little more before we move on to our Ask Dorothy segment and then our musical segment. But in the meantime, indeed, we are talking about a couple books here: At Hell's Gate, A Soldier's Journey from War to Peace by Claude Anshin Thomas. And the website for more information on him, including the meditation book, which we haven't talked too much about, but nonetheless, you'll find them all there. That's information is at zaltho.org. Zaltho. Zaltho. That's Z like zebra, A, L like Larry, T like Tom, H www.ao.org. And so more when we come back with our guest, Claude Anshin Thomas, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangeshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, and our guest today on this show that we've titled From War to the Discovery of Inner Peace. Our guest is fully ordained Zen Buddhist monk, combat war veteran, and author of At Hell's Gate, Claude Anshin Thomas. And this afternoon, Claude, when we were talking, that phrase that you said really rang out to me. If a thing is not practical, it's not spiritual. And I had a thought about how, or we talked about rather, how you chose this path and it makes sense to you and you love this path. And the thought is that this path might not be right for a parent with a couple children in school right now or what have you, but what's important for them is to find a path, right?
Yes. I would say, though, that the person with a spouse, with children, who have a job, they can also engage themselves in this path. One doesn't have to become ordained. One doesn't have to be a fully ordained monk to really embrace an active meditation practice. It takes 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening. The raising of the children becomes a meditation practice.
Mm-hmm.
The caring for the home. You said the outside reflects the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come here to the meditation, to the meditation center in Mary Esther, Florida, I follow the guidelines set up by Dogen, but I didn't even know that I was doing that. Dogen Zenji is the Japanese patriarch of the Soto Zen lineage. But when when they get up in the morning to make their beds as if they never slept in it, when they use the bathroom to leave the shower or to leave the sink as if they've never used it, leaving no traces. When we have meals together, everyone shares in the cooking, because then cooking becomes not other than a meditation practice. And this goes to the statement, if a thing is not practical, it's not spiritual. People have this notion that spiritual is something transcendent, something other than, something greater than. And in fact, if I'm living intensely in this moment, then everything I do, the way when I'm not traveling, and COVID has really kept me from traveling, I'm responsible for taking care of the Zalto Foundation's Meditation Center here in Florida. And that's a way they support me, and by providing me a place to stay and food to eat. And this is my way of saying thank you. I am the abbot of the center here when I'm not traveling, and still the way I to care for the buildings. The buildings of the center were abandoned. The center was able to get them for like next to nothing, and then I get to rehab them. And I didn't have any of these skills 20 years ago or 25 years ago when I came down here. The way I wire up an electrical socket, the way I stack the dishes in the dishwasher, the way I put the food into the refrigerator, the way I operate the vacuum cleaner, the way I care for the tools that help me to do the work that needs to be done here. They're all an aspect of an active meditation practice, to be attentive and concentrate, to be attentive with everything that I'm doing all the time. If I'm thinking about what color I want to paint, what color they want the living room painted while I'm washing the dishes, then I'm not really taking care of the dishes. It's just, so what I'm doing is not practical. Huh?
You have been through so much, as your book shares, as your story goes, and you have realized in this whole time, as I quote you now, that the acceptance of our own vulnerability, aggression, fear, and individual suffering is the starting point for healing and transformation. And for that matter, you go on to say for peace. But to think of all of those quote unquote bad things as the starting point for greater things is a transformational thought right there too.
Well, they're not bad things. They've only been called bad things. So we've been conditioned to call them bad things. That my father was conditioned not to talk about the war. And because he didn't talk about it, it ate at him. It just ate at him from the inside out. And what I've had to do is I've had to wake up to how I have been conditioned, how these family lineages have perpetuated a certain type of conditioning that was passed on to me. And I had to stop doing those things. Stop. And add in the stopping and embracing the silence. It can be disorienting. It can be unsettling. It can seem... It can be very frightening, and to just hold that space of not reacting in the ways in which I have been conditioned to, and developing a more conscious relation with the thoughts that accompany that stopping, because my mind keeps telling me that I got to do this stuff, whatever it was I'm conditioned to. I have to react in a certain way. I have to talk in a certain way. I have to posture myself in a certain way. And I just don't do those things. Mm. Or new behaviors begin to fill that space. It can feel very unsettling. In Buddhist language, and what I experience there is death and stopping old behaviors. Then there's a transition. And that transition place is referred to as the bardo hell. And then there's a rebirth. It's when new behaviors begin to take shape in my life. And it happens without my even knowing it. So it's not like I have to know what I want to do before I do it. I just have to stop acting in the ways that weren't helpful to me. I have to embrace the truth of my life. I was not a nice, I did a lot of not nice things that didn't make me a not nice person. But when I was doing those not nice things, I was not not a very nice person.
Mm. Mm. Well, you just said a lot. You've of course said a lot throughout the whole interview, and you shared so much in your books, especially at Hell's Gate: A Soldier's Journey from War to Peace. What was the name of the meditation one again?
Yes, and the title of the book is Bringing Meditation to Life.
Mm.
It's available. If people go to the website, they'll find out it's available in all of the traditional sorts of places.
Okay.
And it's published by Oakwood Publishing.
And that website, again, is Zaltho, Zaltho.org. But, of course, you can also find the foundation on Facebook, on Instagram. There are podcasts, and we have the links to both of the books for the Amazon location, at least. Claude Anshin, thank you so much. What a pleasure to get to know you this afternoon and to have you share as you did on the Life Changer Show today.
And Filippo, thank you so very much for giving me this opportunity. And for the staff that support you, I bow to them and to your listeners. Really, I deeply appreciate these opportunities. Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. You're very welcome. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Alma, and I have been going to church all of my life. I am 28 now, and although I have prayed every morning and night since I was a small child and have begged for forgiveness and have asked for support in becoming abundant, I can honestly say my prayers have never been answered. Since prayer doesn't work, what can I do to begin manifesting my hopes, dreams, and desires?
Dear Alma, it has been my experience that prayer does work. However, the way I pray now is not what I was taught to do as a child. Growing up, I was told that God rewards us and punishes us. And so I was taught to beg for forgiveness and beg for the things I wanted to manifest. I thank God that I was blessed by having a master teacher appear in my life. His name was Smokey, and he explained things very clearly to me. Once I understood that we are all divine children of God and that we are the power in our world, my life changed for the better. So instead of begging for forgiveness and for the things I wanted to manifest, I learned to forgive myself for my less than elegant choices. And then I changed my prayers to prayers of gratitude filled with positive affirmations. Instead of asking God for things I desire, I thank God for providing me with my highest and best good. Instead of asking God to heal me, I thank God for perfect health. These prayers of gratitude have blessed me with a life filled with love, peace, health, and joy. Just recently, a dear friend gifted me with a wonderful prayer affirming our divine connection with God. And this prayer assists us in manifesting God's lavish, unfailing abundance. If you'd like a copy of it, please write to me at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com, and I'll be happy to send you the affirmative prayer. You might also want to read the book it came from by John Randolph Price, titled The 40-Day Prosperity Plan. Let's share this with the ones we love.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical segment with musical and spoken word guests, Frank Kilpatrick and Reiko, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized.
It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
Whew. We are back, and I am Filippo, and we have a musical and spoken word guest together today. We have songwriter Frank Kilpatrick and vocalist, composer, and multi-instrumentalist Reiko. Welcome, Frank and Reiko, to the show.
So glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. Yes, for sure.
What a pleasure. And the two of you do so much more than what I just mentioned. I realize, actually, I mentioned a lot more for Reiko than I did for you, Frank, but your name did come first.
My name did come first, so I think thanks a lot.
And not to go back to Reiko again, but Reiko, happy birthday!
Oh, thank you. I guess in Japan, it's already my birthday. That's
it's
where
already
I'm from.
Your birthday.
Yes.
If you put your address out there, Reiko, people will send you gifts.
Well, that's a great idea and dangerous at the same time.
Oh, the combo.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The two of you are so funny. And listening to you makes me think of your podcast, right? Let's just jump into that.
Oh my gosh.
Podcast. I mean, let's not jump in your whole podcast. I mean, tell us about that. How about you, Frank?
Well, our podcast is called Gratitude. And we've been talking about gratitude the last hour, so I think it's very appropriate we're talking
right.
about this topic. It's all about seeing the opportunities in everyday life and experiencing them to the fullest. Actually, the podcast and the related videos actually have a series of very beautiful images and Reiko's beautiful voice, affirmative words on the screen. It's really quite a package. It's only a few minutes, but it's a way to kick off your day or kick off your evening and relax in a very tempting and wonderful way.
Nice. Now, I read somewhere, Frank, that you were in denial. What were you in denial about?
Well, I was in the denial river, and that's
oh,
Egypt.
That.
It was kind of interesting story. You know, we here in the West, we think so much, as the previous speaker was commenting on, about our possessions and what we need to have to be happy in this whole experience. And in fact, the whole genesis of the gratitude podcast series came from a trip down denial a couple years ago. And I came to look at, the people who were the people who were by the side of the Nile, it seemed like they lived there for many years, generations, and whether or not they had a lot of money, they seemed like they were pretty happy with their circumstances. So that was the genesis for where gratitude came from, and since then it's kind of mushroomed.
Actually, let's jump right in, actually, with Reiko. Will you tell us about this piece that we're going to hear, and also the special way we're going to hear it today?
Yeah, I'm going to start with this piece called Awakening Relaxing, which is part of the evening part of the podcast for people to relax into the beautiful sleep. Actually, I wrote this piece while I was in the hospital.
Wow.
My mother was first diagnosed with the stage 4 lung cancer, and it was such a somber, horrible time for us. But by writing this and concentrating on I have to meditate to write this piece, and it really worked for me. So if it worked for me in such a trying time, I thought, wow, this would be a really good message for the world. Yeah. And I would like to play, start playing it live, and then it will go into the recorded piece of it. So
nice. Through the magic of technology.
Exactly. Nice.
And this is very special that we get to hear this live. This is from the Gratitude Collection, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And we're going to hear, is it Awakening, Relaxing, something like that?
Yes, sir. It is.
Okay. Well, here we go. Take it away, Reiko.
We'll return on this voyage, breathing in out and trust. Starting to feel grateful if you don't have a clue. It's not true, it's what you choose to be.
The earth embraces me, the earth connects me with who I am, I'm full starlight can be. I dissolve in the ocean. The ocean dissolves in me. Discover million pieces all around. I'm as far as I can see. It warms up sunny days.
Well, that was an unusual arrangement, wasn't it, Rick?
That was a Mother Nature energetic version for people to get going in the morning.
That was kind of what they call, I think, a mashup, wasn't it?
I think it got us all going because I knew what awake sounded like.
Yep. Well, that was funny, but it was actually worked out just great because it gave you two pieces at once. The original idea was we were going to start with the acoustic version, lead into the recorded version with its beautiful violins and all. And I would just throw in a little promote for our wonderful Grammy Award-winning violinist and viola digamba player, Alex Wand, who you heard right at the fade out on that one. So we did get all of our money's worth, I think. Don't you think, Rico?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my
hey,
God.
Hey, this is a life-changing radio, so, yes. You know.
So life's going to change.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes. Well,
gratitudevideo.com is where you can not only learn more about these talented and funny and award-winning musical and spoken word guests. Frank,
you forgot adaptive.
Henrik, well, I forgot adaptive. And adaptive is important.
But that was fun.
GratitudeVideo.com.
Yes,
and then you can find them on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. It's all Gratitude Video. You can miss it. And then you can find all kinds of videos on YouTube, on their YouTube channel, actually. We have all these links in case you don't get them, or they're all up at GratitudeVideo.com. We have the Awakening Relax video up on our webpage as well.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks.
I wonder if we could try that first one again just for the fun of it. And I would love to hear it the way it was intended.
Before, you are a man who loves a risky deal, aren't you?
If I work exactly the same way, actually, and then we'll laugh some more. But before we do that, speaking of getting our money's worth, you know, it's interesting and wonderful, actually, wonderful that more and more people are bringing this kind of music to the fold. And what you're doing, you already move people with your music, and you have for many years. Frank has been touring with the Beach Boys. I drop mic. I mean, but then that's what it sounded like. I don't know what happened there, but you know, has contributed.
Well, at least my collaborator has.
Has contributed to recordings with Elton John in Chicago. And I can go on. And then you, Reiko,
yes.
You have written for some movies like People Would Know This. People have heard your music, right?
Yeah. It's such a blessing to work with, you know, I worked with Amazon Prime shows, the Disney, and some feature film. Was blessed enough to get one of my songs on the ending credit for a feature film with Kurt Fuller, and late Michael Massier was in it. You know, he's the Spider-Man 2. He was in Spider-Man 2. Kirk Fuller is like, I've always loved this actor because I was a supernatural freak. But
what about that Eric Andre guy? Are you going to miss him?
Oh, my gosh.
You're so funny.
I was the vocalist for the house band for the latest Eric Andre show.
Wow.
So, yeah, we have a variety of, yeah, it's like Abba to Zappa when supervisor tells me and calls me to write this, write that. I would just bring out my tinfoil and just like, you know, start writing whatever they want.
Are you still singing with Lolita Dark?
Yes, I am. It's, you know, because of the COVID, we have not performed live in a while, but that band is going to come back. After.
Well, I want to see you live, actually.
Thank you.
It's quite a show. Let me point that out.
Well, I can't wait to meet
Bring
you.
Bring your tinfoil hat.
in person. So tell us again what it was that we ended up hearing, at least the upbeat version. That was what now?
That was Mother Nature energizing. It's meant to for people to listen to when they first wake up in the morning to kickstart their day, to get energized.
Okay. And though this one that we're going to hear now, kind of again, mm-hmm. See, we're not even fixing it in the mix. We're doing it live. As
Why are you so funny?
This is live. This is live television.
So let's see. Let's see it working. And so, Reiko, take it away.
Am I playing again?
Yes, please.
Okay. How does it go again? shoot, I totally forgot my own song. Okay. Share with you this journey of how I thrive. I feel gratitude. I'm blessed to be alive. The inner glow we have lost. Opportunity of God to dust will return on this voyage, breathing it out and trust.
Sing along if you know the words.
Starting to feel grateful if you don't have. It's not our fault. What is true? It's what you choose to be.
Have a clue. It's
Talk about gratitude in gratitudevideo.com. I wish this had been on video. There would have been it would have been even that much more special. And maybe we just have to make that happen sometime live in Los Angeles. But in the meantime, how special to have had the two of you on, Frank Kilpatrick and Reiko, on your the eve of your birthday, Reiko.
Thank you. I would never forget this party.
What a party.
It's just so memorable in every way.
So, and a few of them were good.
So gratitudevideo.com, Frank Kilpatrick and Reiko, and then of course you can find them on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Gratitude Video, and then find their YouTube channel, and we've got all their links on our page for them on the Life Changes Show .com. And with that, a big thank you to them again, and a big thank you to—
Would you say this is the most unique interview we've done, Reiko?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Perfect. I love it.
It's really been special, folks. Thank
you. Very genuine, yes.
Very authentic. Very—
Yes.
Very real world, huh?
Yes, yes. Love it.
It's the new way of being.
Yes, yes.
I've awakened and relaxed at the same time. And I am grateful. So with that, a big thank you again to Frank Kilpatrick and Reiko.
Thank you.
Claude Anjan Thomas. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
Tell Lord Michael I'll have to call him back.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.